We're talking about the Phoenix Lights. 10 years, the anniversary, but as Dr. Lynn said, it actually started earlier than that. You have pictures from 95. And you've talked to a lot of witnesses over the last 10 years. What kind of effect do these sightings have with witnesses? I know generally UFO sightings can be life-changing.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. You know, being an experiencer myself, I certainly have empathy for those out there that have had a strange, anomalous experience that's real to them. And not being able to share it is very detrimental, actually. I've had hundreds and hundreds of emails since I came forward with the book in 04, because I pared down that 750 page to the best of what I found. And over again, just having someone of credence say it's okay to talk about it is very healing. That's a very important part of the position why I came forward, just to get it out in the open and be able to say, hey, you know, it's okay to talk about it, even if it can be explained. If it's real to you, it's very cathartic to be able to share. The other thing that really piqued my interest when I was interviewing witnesses and took me on to a new road of inquiry was many of the witnesses had a near-death experience as children that was reawakened by the Phoenix Lights event, and I found that very curious because I also had a near-death experience as a child when I was 8 years old, and I go into that in the book in detail. But the important thing is that it really alerted me to the fact that, whoa, maybe there is a connection between all unexplained phenomena, be it near-death experience, out-of-body experience, unexplained aerial phenomena that have a mystical light associated with the experience. And lo and behold, again, I mean, I knew nothing about this topic to start out with, and when I'm in this direction, I was finding university studies for 20, 30 years. Dr. Kenneth Ring at the University of Connecticut, his Omega Project, Dr. Bruce Tremblow, Dr. Raven Fowler, Dr. Bruce Grayson. I mean, there were a number of professors at university level that were studying the connection, not only in the experience itself, and it's intriguing just to see how similar the experiences are when you really lay them out, and I do that in the book, but what was most profound to me, and actually maybe come up with the name, Unexplained Phenomena, a UP, an up, because it is an up. There is such a, for those that experience it, and let's say right up front, I mean, there are people out there that forgot about it. Forgot about the sighting for months until they saw something on TV. There were others that just disregarded it and couldn't deal with it, and that's okay. I mean, if one needs to feed into a logical explanation like flares or whatever, so be it, if it gives them comfort. Everyone in their own time. But those that were really open to it and embraced it, and I, over and over again, I had witnesses tell me, I was in awe. I felt that I was blessed to be able to see this. I mean, it really touched people at such a deep soul level, and the positive after effect as well. Many people here were so curious, and it really opened their minds and their hearts to the fact that we're not alone, that whoever is doing this is not only alerting us to their presence worldwide, but also waking us up to the spiritual beings that we are, and the potential, the positive potential that we have is so much more vast than we had ever imagined, and the connectedness to the universe as well as to the earth and each other is extremely intricate and intimate and important, and you know, there's a message that people have been getting worldwide, not only to wake up to the presence of these visitations and that we're not alone in the universe, but also that wake up to what you're doing to yourself and to your earth before it's too late.
A lot of people have, you know, put forth the idea that these sightings, these mass sightings especially, are to alert us about our environment.
Right, and I'm telling you, I mean, I over and over and over again, I mean, I've talked to the witnesses from Arizona that witnessed the Phoenix Lights event that have become vegetarians, have In fact, we have one wonderful lady, Tori Mansfield, in the documentary, who contacted me. She had to see me. She had to be with me and tell me her experience. She ended up to be one of the witnesses that we share in the documentary. She was with a group of hospice workers. She was a hospice worker, and they were outside. There were about a dozen people outside, and this thing was hovering right above them. I mean, it was massive and touched them. I mean, these are people that were sensitive anyway. You know, when you look at a situation, and we talk about this in the documentary is really an overview of the topic. The book gets into a lot more of the story. There's much more to the story than just March 13th. But certainly to introduce the public in a gentle way to this whole thing, you know, we tried to share the witnesses and the professors I worked with and how Hollywood looks at this, as well as the fear factor, because we're so ingrained with it as a threat, and that we're going to be harmed. And there has not been one report. This is really interesting. Not one report in 10 years of harm, threat, or abduction connected with the Phoenix Lights event. But anyway, Tori, in the meantime, has become the CEO for the Department of Peace, the Arizona Department of Peace, which is now a grassroots effort, non-political. It's a grassroots effort for peace on Earth and peace in space. And she is a very strong advocate and traveling to Washington, D.C. all the time. I mean, it changed her life. I mean, in the process of the last 10 years, she has become a very, very strong voice for peace and you know, starting at a grassroots level in schools, which is wonderful. I mean, it has changed people and transformed people for the better. So whoever's doing this, yay.
Yeah, we hear these stories, as you do, off and on, regularly over the years. It definitely changes people's attitudes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to know, I mean, look, Jerry, the Hubble telescope has really changed the face of time and space and gravity as we know it. It's shown us just in the short 10 or 15 years that it's been out there that our solar system is a very young solar system. Our galaxy, and who knows how many trillions of galaxies there are out there. Our galaxy, with over 400 billion stars, is 10 to 14 billion years old. Our solar system is a very young solar system. It's only 4 to 6 billion years old. There are scientists now postulating that there could be intelligent sentient beings out there, billions of years ahead of us. That's mind-boggling what they might be able to do, particularly, you know, the bunkers or the skeptic, you know, hardline skeptics for so many years have said, how could they get here? It's too far, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, what if, and certainly my experience in 95 with the close war indicated as much, because when they disappeared right in front of my eyes, it seemed that they were still there, even though they had disappeared,
mm-hmm.
gone to another dimension. That was the only thing I could relate it to. I mean, we have no reference for this in our culture. But if you really think about now, astrophysics and quantum physics and mechanics is showing us that there are many dimensions out there. And if there's many dimensions out there, there could be many intelligences out there that we just don't see in our time and space unless we get a glimpse of them from these experiences or if they want us to. So,
you know, what you're right about all of that, and it is mind-boggling. It's hard to for me to comprehend, and I'm sure for everybody.
You know what? It's the kind of consciousness and the thinking that is going forward. We have other movies like What the Bleep Do We Know that's introducing this kind of thought process that, you know, if there are other dimensions out there, how much easier it would be to imagine that there are other life forms in other dimensions. And when we hear over and over again that people will be seeing beings or spirit world or whatever coming through the walls or disappearing right in front of them, then we can kind of relate. Well, you know what? Maybe that can happen. Maybe there's a way, if they're that much more advanced than we are, that they have found to do that. And maybe all these sightings and the increase in experiences and sightings worldwide are trying to wake us up once and for all. It's like, you know, we've gotten so far away from our spiritual source and from who we really are in our crazed world today. And busy world today, that we've gotten away from all that, and certainly whoever's doing this is trying to wake us up to that. So, and hopefully, you know, they're touching one person at a time doing this, you know, just gliding across rooftops throughout cities, major cities worldwide. There was actually a very similar sighting, mass sighting, 1 month before ours. I learned about a year after I started looking meticulously into other data. And in St. Petersburg, Russia, on February 19th, 1997. And a couple people got video, which are identical. It's identical to what I captured 2 months before the mass sighting. So, I mean, these things are happening worldwide. People now have the technology, which we didn't before, to capture them. It was always just a story, which could be discarded or dismissed or ignored. Now we have people actually out there with cameras here. That's another thing I should mention, which is so neat, here in the Phoenix area. That there are people that actually moved here. We have a Luke Air Force gentleman who actually asked for a transfer to Phoenix a year after the mass sighting, so he could see these phenomena. He was so curious about them, and he's been photographing them.
Yeah, you know, you're right. I know several people have moved to Phoenix because of it.
Mm-hmm.
When I ran across, when I was in Phoenix investigating this.
Right, and they're out there with their cameras, which is so great, because, you know, if you look, you'll find, and just as I did, I mean, I found a whole new world that I didn't even know was right there when I started looking for it. But if you really look skyward, and most of us don't, I mean, we're not looking at the sky all day long, and certainly you don't want to become obsessed and look at it, you know, sit there with a camera for your life. But, you know, there are people here that are going out periodically, and they are catching these things. And also, which I'm sure your listeners will appreciate, and you as well, once you really open yourself up to these things, and I call my presentation, my PowerPoint presentation, coincidence or communication, because there's too many things, and I leave it to the audience to decide, but there were so many puzzle pieces and too many things that were just so serendipitous right before these lights appeared, that you start wondering, is there some kind of communication going here, telepathic communication? And yes, I mean, there are people that have been with their cameras here sitting outside and inviting these things in. I won't go there. I've been asked to do that, but to me that's a circus act, personally. But there are people that choose to do that, and they've actually caught wonderful pictures of these phenomena. So is there true communication once you open up to these things and open up to the reality that they're there? In fact, I have, okay, I'm just sharing it for the first time. I have a couple of pictures that I took in 2000, November and December. We have beautiful sunsets here. I collect sunsets. I have 5 books of beautiful sunsets. And when I got the film back after the holidays, 5 rolls of film, I noticed in 2 different rolls, 2 different months, there is an object that looks like a rod-shaped object, a giant rod-shaped object in the same location in the sky. And in one of the sunsets, a later picture of that sunset shows this object that looks like a rod, like what we call a mothership or...
Yes, sir.
It looks like it turned so that it's a triangle. So could this triangle craft be there? I didn't see it when I took the picture. I did not see it when I took the pictures of the sunset, but they're in the negative. And it's mind-boggling when you think... The internet has definitely changed the face of sightings, because now, at a moment, we can let people know that we're having something happen here. and certainly, it got our sighting out in a big way. And we're just excited that we can celebrate the 10th anniversary. It is definitely an historic event, and it's still unexplained.
We have one more segment with Dr. Lynn. Don't go away. When we come back, I want to talk to her about the reality of the sightings. There are all kinds of stories. I want to find out, was it boomerangs? Was it a mile and a half wide triangle? What was sightings.
Exactly.
Hey, have I got an idea here, and I would like to follow it up with especially grandparents, or maybe your new parent, the new baby coming. Is it a boy? Is it a girl? What the future will bring? All of that anticipation and excitement of a new member of the family can be captured forever. Listen to this. This is a great idea. We represent an astrologer, C.C. Stevens, who's really unique. And she has something called the Book of You. For $35, you have to have the name of the person, the location where they were born, and the date, and the exact time. And you submit that to C.C. And basically, in a couple of days, we'll put it in the mail. You'll get a little CD back about the Book of You. What a great idea for a newborn child. All of the astrological information laid out for that new member of the family. A great gift idea, don't you agree? C.C. Stevens. She has an ability that is almost unexplainable, but she's right on. Trust me. Dr. Lynn, we've heard reports of this huge triangle. We've heard reports of a boomerang. What did people really see?
That's a very good question. We're not sure, because there may have been actually a parade going throughout Arizona of different things, or it could have been one thing that could have morphed, because we had a report at 8:20 with the first call into a retired police officer in Paulden, who reported this mile-wide V formation of lights that, again, seemed to be attached to something, but they couldn't quite see what it's attached to. And if you go on my website, thephoenixlights.net, you can see the second picture there. And that was the series of six that I took 2 months before the mass sighting. That's a very, very poignant picture, because if you look at that picture, you can see as this thing was head-on turning into a V-shape. By the way, the second picture, which is not on my web, shows five lights across with two underneath it, and many people throughout the state on March 13th described five lights in a V-formation with two trailing, and some actually saw the lights redock with the main object, and others saw it go out, you know, a couple of orbs go out into the environment and then come back to it. Is that what happened in 95? I don't know, but the same formation's in the background when we had our close sighting. But at any rate, other people, if you look at that one picture that I had, the second picture that I have on the website, you can see that every other orb is bigger, and I call them orbs because the light did not extend outside the edge. It was self-contained, and when you look at these orbs through a telescope or binoculars, it's like a spinning ball of energy. They're self-contained, and they don't glare at all, and they don't illuminate anything like flares do. But at any rate, you can see that every other one is bigger than the one in between. So if you can imagine that this thing was head-on and then turned into a V-shape, turning to the right, and that we're looking at the bigger orbs are the closer arm of this thing, and the further away orbs are smaller, and that there was a field in between these orbs, that makes sense. Some people actually saw a craft. Some people, we have a couple that was out in Carefree, very credible reality couple, were out in Carefree where there were stakes in the ground for a development that they were working on. And this thing passed right over them. They said that it was closer to 2 miles wide, as indicated by these stakes. And they actually saw windows on this craft, and beings at the windows looking down at them as intently as they were looking at the beings, which is really interesting. So, and then, as I said, at 8:20, the first call came in from Paulden. Well, around that same time, unless it, like, miraculously sped up and got here, that's when the crewman says that this thing was over 7th Avenue and Indian School. So it makes one wonder, either it was such incredible technology that it could be two places almost at the same time, or was it a number of different things, because then other people saw a boomerang shape. We have reports of it going past the moon, and you could see it was kind of translucent. We have other reports that people were right under the lights. Actually, the lights were huge. They were like 6 feet across, and they looked like we talk about this. A couple of the witnesses talk about it in the documentary. It looked like a canister a canister where the light was like swimming around, and in between these lights it looked like there was like a watery, shimmery feeling. So, you know, whether it was one thing that could materialize into a craft, or it was a number of different things, we don't know that for sure.
Now you're,
but the reports do vary.
You're in Phoenix, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I think these lights were seen all over the state, right?
Yeah, not only all over the state. I mean, we're talking from up north all the way through the most populated corridor, while thousands of people were looking up at the Hale-Bopp Comet, and that's significant. So obviously whoever did this wanted to be seen. And if it was military, people have said, well, you know, what if it was military? They've had secret ops and so forth. Well, that's concerning that they would do that when a night when everybody was outside looking out and then deny it. But besides that, it came all the way down to Tucson and then came back to Phoenix. That was the biggest part of the sighting, and that's when most people were outside looking up at the sky. So that's when the reports came in fast and furious. But we also, since I came forward, I've had reports from people that were seeing it earlier that evening, actually in New Mexico.
Oh, really?
So we're seeing in New Mexico, and later that night, in fact, I had a gal call me, a commercial airline pilot, just got in touch with me a couple months ago. Fascinating. People are still getting in touch with me. It's really amazing that it's really opening up people to be able to talk about their experience now. And she was on a route to California, passing near Las Vegas when she saw this thing about 11:30 at night. And she called into the tower to ask them if there was anything on their radar, which there wasn't. And at about the same time, another commercial pilot, a gentleman, called in really freaking out that he was seeing this thing. And then they passed that area. About a half hour later, this is interesting, an Air Force jet comes almost right next to them, this is a commercial airline, freaked the passengers and as well as the crew, and started sending off flares.
Really?
Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, she just got in touch with me a couple months ago, and she said, look, I just had to tell you that this happened. So, you know, and we have other reports from people that were seeing these orbs statewide until about 2 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, there was a lot going on that night. There was definitely a parade happening.
Have you thought about the Hale-Bopp connection? We hear all kinds of stories. Basically, I guess you feel kind of like I do. People were just out looking for the comet and saw it. Or do you think there's something else going on we don't know about?
What do you mean?
Well, that's a good answer.
No, what do you mean?
You know, in other words, did this comet have something to do with all of this too?
It's interesting that you bring that up, actually, because, you know, let's look back in Mexico, who actually started their mass sightings when there was an eclipse in 1991. And, you know, hundreds, thousands of people were outside looking up at the sky again at the eclipse. You know, whoever's doing this, do they know when these events are happening, and they kind of schedule a mass sighting so that people become aware that they're here in a gentle way. You know, that's a good question. That's a very good question. So, you know, the fact is that night, I mean, people were outside doing a lot of things. We have March is a lovely time here, and the beginning of March and the evenings here now are just spectacular, and a lot of people are outside anyway.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know, it's a good question because when I met with Jaime Muzan, you know, again, I stayed anonymous, but on the sly, when I could, because gathering the information, I met with some of the key people and communicated with certainly, you know, experts in the field, including Jaime Muzan. And when he saw my data, he looked at me and he said, you know, you have a lot more in store. This is just the beginning. And, you know, you certainly see, and then with the Mexico sightings, and just recently, I think it was 2004, that goes back again to the interdimensional significance of this. The Air Force took infrared film of these orbs, the same thing, these same orbs, and actually they look very similar to what we had here. And the Air Force, I mean, shared it with Jaime, and he shared it with the world. And they didn't see them. They were on infrared film. So, I just don't think we have the technology yet to definitively define what these things are. And maybe, just like my son said pictures, we just don't see these things in our human containers. When I was working, I went back to work as chief clinical consultant at the Arizona Heart Institute Wellness and Imaging Center, doing the heart test, the calcium scores of the major arteries of the heart, and then afterwards people would meet with me to talk about nutrition and exercise, and the first thing I would say to them when they came in is, this is your container for your lifetime, and they would look at me and they said, wow, I never thought of it that way. I said, what you put into it or don't is your choice, but there is a formula to stay healthy. Well, besides that, this is our container. I mean, we are limited in what we can see and hear, and as we know, dogs hear a lot more than we do, and other animals as well. So we're limited in the fact that maybe they're right there. We're just not seeing them unless we're invited.
Our time is almost up, and that's a good way to end the show, but I have to ask you, anybody have contact with any sort of beings or unusual things, spirits or whatever, during this time?
Actually, that is a good question. As I said, I haven't had any reports of threat or harm or abduction, anything like that. There's certainly people feel a connection to the phenomena. People wanted to have a connection to the phenomena. When the mass sighting happened about 6 months before the movie Independence Day came out, and so children who saw this massive thing coming towards them were frightened.
Yeah, they thought it was Independence Day.
They were jumping up and down. Independence Day, Independence Day. I had some reports. But what's really interesting is as this came close to them, and we're talking going over people's heads, I mean, at a very low altitude, not only children but adults felt a connection to it, felt a wonder with what was happening. And after it passed, the children wanted to chase after it and wanted their parents to get in the car and continue chasing it. Very interesting, very intriguing circumstance.
In other words, it's more of an emotional or another dimension, so to speak.
To the core, it really touches our, because we don't have any relation to it. We've been so ingrained that this isn't real, that it's liberish or it's mirage or whatever. And again, other cultures are open to this. It's part of their culture. It's a natural part of who they are. And you asked about spirit world. Maybe this is spirit world. I actually, for the first time, I'm sharing pictures in my presentation of evidence, as much evidence as proof as you can get, that there's a spirit world. I have unbelievable photographs of spirit world that maybe there is a connection here. Maybe this is all spirit world.
It seems like it's all intertwined somehow.
And again, in the book, I really get into the intricacies of the connection between all unexplained phenomena. But if you think about it for a second, and you think about the, and I'm not saying that it is spirit world, I'm just saying it could be one of the things, or time travelers or whatever. But, if you think, if there is a spirit world, how advanced that spirit world must be. And, with the minds that have gone to that dimension, be it, Einstein to Tesla to Socrates, whatever, and what if they're watching us, and they're intimately involved with our own survival, and they're trying to wake us up in a way that won't freak us out? How would they do that? Well, maybe this is the way, or maybe it's a combination. I don't know for sure, but certainly I do think that there is some kind of a connectedness there that we should explore.
Well, Dr. Lim, we'll be back in touch with you again soon, and I wish I could be out there on the 17th or the 28th or whenever, but
yeah, I wish you could too. They're really, really fun, and hopefully we'll be taking it on the road soon. I did present in Italy last year with Paula Harris and Jaime. That was really fun, and There's so much more to this story, and I think there's so much more to come as well. And I'm along for the ride, and it has just been a joy and a joy talking with you. And hopefully people will just look at the data and it speaks for itself. And I've tried to do the homework for everybody. There definitely is a chunk of history missing from our history books. And with the book and the documentary, I hope I can help fill that gap a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Major sighting here.
On the 13th of March, weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix region. And no one seems to be able to explain what it was.
And now, suddenly six amber orbs in a row, totally equidistant from each other, massive span across, pop up.
People say they saw strange lights.
There is a strange bright light seen over the skies of Arizona. Gets a lot of people wondering.
There are another 10,000 Arizonans who saw the same thing.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Last night, shortly after 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with three to
thousands of people saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
There was nothing new.
Winning documentary by Dr. Lynn Kita. The Phoenix Lights is now available from shopjerrypippin.com. Order now. Supplies limited.